Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our national prayer call. I want to thank you for being on tonight, and I believe that the word that we're going to bring forth through the Spirit and the word that has been brought forth this past week and through many different resources is going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be exciting, and also I was able to get some more books while I was on this trip. So those of you that do not have books and would like to have them at the end of the call, we'll talk about that. Let's go before the Lord. Father Yahweh, you're such a blessing to enter into your season of feasts is an honor and a privilege, and it's a requirement. So, Lord, you said that through your prophets that this is a year that secrets are going to be revealed. And it's begun in this Rosh Hashanah, Lord God, and according to your word and your will and your way, the angels are literally descending upon the earth. They're bringing forth a word. The Holy Spirit is bringing forth a word. Mysteries are being revealed. Problems of life are being resolved. You are breaking forth in a way that has not been seen until this season. And Lord, it has been said over and over again, we are here for such a season as this because you have chosen us to be here. We were birthed at this season because we have a work to do in this season, and it's going to be the most blessed season of all time other than being with our Lord and Savior, but we'll actually get to be with him. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the word. I thank you for dreams and visions. I thank you for the promise. I thank you for the outpouring of thy Spirit and that which you're doing. I thank you that you're given insight and you're given direction that has never been given before. It's a season of witty inventions. It's a season of technologies that are literally the angels are bringing the scrolls and giving insight in how things are going to happen and how we're to move forward. Your kingdom is breaking forth in this year, 5775. It has not been broken forth before in history. Lord, you're pulling a people together that are literally changing the course of this earth, that are restoring your word, your way, and your will through grace and through power, through the law of mercy and the law of grace, Lord God, through the law of your word, the things that Dr. Mosley is teaching us, the word that's brought forth by Jeanette Strauss, the many different authors, Robert Heidler and Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets, Bobby Connor, all the different references, Dr. Marlene McMillan. Most importantly, the Word of God. You are bringing forth revelation that is breaking off the curses, that is changing the ancestral bloodlines, that is freeing up the inheritance, that is changing the destinies to be that which they were supposed to be for thy glory, and you're setting the captives free. And we thank you for that. We ask that you would pour out your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and take control of this meeting, to guide it and direct it, to make the words of our mouth be that which would edify and glorify you, that we could be a part of those that set the captives free and bring about revelation for these days. And I thank you for this. Bless us, O Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Bring thy presence. It's more important that your presence is here in each and every one of our homes and our lives this night than it is that I say anything. Let your presence come. Glory come. Pour it out, Lord. Pour out your glory. Pour out your presence. Pour it out, Lord God, from the very throne room of heaven. Holy Spirit, come, 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 and be glorified this night. In the precious name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. I want to share with you a building up to talk about where I have been for the last 4 or 5 days, and I was joined by Dr. Mosley and John Rockwell and 4,500 other people and 100,000 on the Internet that attended this conference to talk about what we have heard and seen and how it ties into where we are. You know, many of you understand that we're in a season of signs and wonders being poured out, miracles are starting to happen, healings are taking place. God is bringing in his Spirit as we have not sensed it or seen it. There's been outpourings, and many talk about the third great awakening, that we're in that season, we're in that time It's just the beginning of it, so it's going to get better. With the folks that were with me this weekend, the speaker, and they were amazed, and I said, don't worry about it. It's going to get better. Just wait till the next one, because glory upon glory, anointing upon anointing, brings about an outpouring of the Lord in his presence that's just overwhelming, and that's what I'm asking for every one of our lives, that outpouring would be so overwhelming that we walk as light in the darkness, and that God is bringing us in to where we can learn to see with spiritual eyes and to hear, but more importantly, listen with spiritual ears as we go into this season. When I say 5775, the Hebrew calendar is 5775, the year we're going into. It just began a week ago, 23rd. And we're into a season now, a time of the season, that culminates on this coming Friday night through Saturday night, which is Yom Kippur. These are the days of awe. These are the 10 highest holy days of the year to the Hebrew. It's the time of repentance, the time to get things right, and it's a time of great grace and mercy. Without mercy, there's no grace. So you have to experience the mercy of God through repentance, and his great grace comes. This is a year where 5 is the number of grace and 7 is the number of God, and he brings it in a specific time, 5775. So he's saying there's going to be great grace in my perfection. In my perfection, you're going to find great grace. So if you look at what we have been doing for this past 13 weeks, going to 14 this week, we are seeing and hearing of God moving in such a way that he's setting the captives free and you're becoming a part of it. A job of a minister is to disciple those that will come in here, and we have been discipling through these calls and bringing you to a point of freedom. And some of you say, well, you know, the battle is worse. There's just so much going on. You haven't gotten through yet, but don't be afraid. A grace is coming to take you through the last stages of your battle and to release you into this year where you're going to make a kingdom headway that you've never experienced before. God is raising up elites. Elite people in every category, teachers, pastors, intercessors, prayer warriors, like never before. He's preparing the people in a refining fire of his spirit that is going to literally change the course of the world, and we're those people. We are part of that remnant. We're part of those that are seeing how we can set our bloodline free from iniquitous curses. And not just our bloodline, it releases our inheritance and our legacy. So our legacy gets to be that which God planned for our legacy to be because of the season of praying that we're doing. We're learning how to pray effectual prayers, to enter into the secret places of the Lord, to release that which he wants to release, and in that, free generations, and not only generations, as I was sharing with my cousin Martha several weeks ago, and those of you who heard the call or listened to it afterwards, when you go back and break off a bloodline curse, it could be 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 generations back, everybody from that point forward is going to receive a blessing of the inheritance. Now, some were not designated. They were not set up to receive certain things, but maybe their children were, or their grandchildren. So the inheritance of the blessings of God's promises goes on. It goes forward. So we have to look at what God is doing and what we can expect. Angels literally are being poured out in such a way that it's never been seen, and there are angels being seen around the world. The gift of the prophetic is breaking forth. Praise is coming forth in a way that's never been even seen or understood. God is pouring out in such a way that as we stand in the face of adversity, we're going to see the enemy shift away, and the devastation that he's trying to put on this world is going to be broken off. We're going to reestablish the righteous principles of the Lord that we can walk in a place that few have walked in, and we are taking part in setting the bride free. So I want to talk about generational legacy before I get into what happened this weekend. As we've gone through the courts of heaven, and as we have gone into our studies, and those of you that don't have the books, I was able to purchase 6 more of each one of the books. So I have 6 to give away. 1 is designated because I didn't have the books I thought I had to send to Deidre 2 weeks ago, and I just got them back. So we have to look at where we are. So that means I'm going to have 5 left to send out. So 5 people, they're going to get a blessing from those that have contributed. We have to look at what God's saying in Isaiah 61. He's saying that we shall be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, a display of his splendor. Well, that is a legacy that God's talking about. He's talking about the planting of himself within us to show himself strong. When my daughter was hit by a car years ago, and I called out to the Lord and asked for mercy for her life, he said to fear not. The child wouldn't die. He'd raise her up to his glory. And my legacy would go on of the desires that I had to be in ministry, and he would use my daughter and my son and my grandchildren. So they're not walking where they're going to be yet, but that's okay because God is showing me that I've been doing these very things that I've been bringing to each one, every one of you. His righteousness is being brought forth, and we're becoming oaks of righteousness, a generational legacy that's going to be grown up in strength. And an oak is a strong tree, a mighty tree. It sways in the wind, but it is strong and mighty and powerful in the Lord. So I want you to understand something. You have a legacy that you're going to leave to the generations behind you. And even though, as it was said this weekend, and Peter Wagner was talking about a word that Chuck Pierce had used, tumultuous, we're in tumultuous times, and literally, it's a time of a great shaking. And the word has come forth over and over again. There's going to be a shaking on the earth. Everything be shaken will be shaken. But also, it's a time of better things coming. You got to take heart, know that God is forgiving you. And because of your prayers to break yourself free, your land free, and as we're going to go forward, as I've said, I'm not going to do what I planned for this week. I'm going to do it next week. About playing over our cities, because I want us to be in this time, this week or so, in repentance. That as we repent and return to him in repentance for a city, for a state, for a nation, God is hearing those prayers. The redemption that he has promised and the blessings that he's promised is being released. And believers, ourselves and others, are going to inherit the promise of the gifts that had been promised. And as we're going to talk about a little later, there's not going to be the delay that we think. The Lord says, you know, he even spoke while he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they're doing. As we pray to break off the curses that have been upon us, we have to believe and receive the promise. Because that promise is that the curses will be broken, that we will be set free, and that our families and the generations to come and our land is going to be set free, that the spiritual whirlwind of God's angels are going to come down, and he's going to spread out his word like a mighty rushing wind. It's going to go from the high places to the low places. There's going to be visions and signs and wonders and word like has not been seen since his time on the earth. Even the prophets of old, the Old Testament, will have not seen that which is about to come. There's going to be a manifestation of great measure in our midst like we have desired but never seen. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 1, 4-7. He says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as his testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, and the gifts are being poured out. Gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, discernment, understanding, revelation that has not been seen before is being poured out. There are people, young men and women, that are standing up and prophesying that have never prophesied, and they're hearing from the Lord. Whereas we that happen to be the older generation, I use myself and many others, you know, at times we don't feel like we have any strength left in us. We don't feel like, we feel like Abraham and Sarah. God is getting ready to bring new birth. He's impregnating each and every one of us. And the children that we're going to have, we're not going to have to physically birth them, but we're going to birth them through his word. And Revelation 4 talks about, and I looked and behold, there was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet saying, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was the throne in heaven and someone sitting upon it. We are about to come into the days that are described from John. We have to come up to where he is. We have to understand that we're in a perilous time. And that Greek word literally describes a time that is dangerous and difficult and fierce. I mean, you had a nutcase Islamic terrorist in Oklahoma behead a woman at work because he had gotten fired because of extreme actions, and he comes in and beheads the first woman he sees. Well, the enemy's doing this to try to bring terror upon the land. But the Lord says, in the day of trouble and distress and rebuke and disgrace for the children of the earth, there is no strength in them but God. He is bringing us the strength. He is bringing us the battle cry. He says, in the day of trouble, call upon him. And we've got to call upon him. We've got to understand that our job is to call upon the Lord. And in that, we need to understand that we are going to be impregnated with a word, with a gift, with a promise. God is saying that that which was promised by his Spirit is about to take place. He says, come and hear my voice. He wants to reveal things to us that have been hidden, that Daniel talked about, that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable. I took two men and a beautiful lady to a conference this weekend and exposed them to something they'd not totally been exposed to before. And at first, it's unfamiliar and a little uncomfortable, but when you see people in their 80s and 90s get up waving flags and dancing, people lifting up their hands with total release and joy because they have been forgiven much and they've been set free. And they come before the throne of God with thanksgiving and a grateful heart, totally abandoned, an abandonment unto the Lord, decreeing and declaring the great things of the Lord. So when you experience this for the first time, it might be a little unsettling. But as you sit there and become a part of what God's doing, you sense that his mighty move is greater than anything that you've experienced. The Lord says, we are about to have a visitation of the host of heaven because he is moving upon the land. And he's moving in such a way that there are going to be signs and wonders. There's literally a time that he's going to move out and bring coalitions of people together that have never been together before, denominations that would never even walk across the street to say hello to each other. There's going to be a mighty rushing wind and a whirlwind within those denominations, within those church meetings, within those home groups, that he's going to break forth this year in what's called a whirlwind. This is 5775 is the year of whirlwinds, and God is bringing about a new restoration in the midst of the trouble. And he says, where's the safest place in the middle of a hurricane? And I don't mean in another state. Literally in a hurricane, the safest place to be is in the eye of the storm. And God's saying, you're going to get in the middle of the eye of the storm, and you're going to move through with such an anointing that wherever enemy is trying to bring destruction, you're going to bring about a great grace. You're going to bring about a new word. You're going to bring about a confrontation to the enemy that's going to cause him to flee. You know, we're literally in a season where we're called to confront the enemy, not run from him. When the enemy shows up, most people want to run from the enemy. We have to be like Marines. When that first shot is fired, they run into the battle. We're going to have to be like it. We're going to have to know that God, what God wants us to do, and get into alignment with those that understand what he's doing in this season, those that have been set free. I've talked about for these last 13 weeks about our bloodlines our ancestry, about breaking off curses that we as a bride could be without spot or blemish and our light would shine even greater. So God is providing us with all the knowledge, weapons, and word that we need to move forth. Now, in Dr. Mosley's book, we talked about last week, we talked about the word. That was a major portion about the words out of our mouth and the law of authority and the law of words. When we speak certain things, we either speak death or we speak life. Now, I'm going to give a negative confession about myself. On the way home, I was exhausted. My brother-in-law was with us. He wanted to talk about what he'd been through. I wanted to listen to the tapes that I just, or the CDs I just bought, and I was trying to explain something to my wife, and I snapped at her. And I said I was sorry at that time, but, you know, the Lord would not let me sleep last night. I wanted to wake her up and apologize again, but I waited till this morning, and I said, my wife's name, Frances, you know, she's my baby, so I said, baby, I need to apologize to you for my harsh words. She said, I already forgave you. I said, no. What I did was speak a curse. What I did, I wasn't cussing. I just spoke a curse. And I said, because of that, there could be something that would come upon you that would injure us in our going forward, and the Lord would not let me sleep. I did that which I've been teaching against all this time, and I want you to forgive me. I've already asked the Lord to forgive me. He's forgiven me, but he said I needed to ask you, and I'm asking you to forgive me and do not receive any negative word, because the law of words could be used against me in the courtroom of the accuser, and I ask that that would be removed by your love and mercy and by the Lord's love and mercy to the courtroom of mercy and grace, that it would be taken off and erased. And she got it. And she says, absolutely. So I ask her, and we prayed together that the blood of Jesus, we came in agreement, and that would not take root in our family bloodline. And I said something kind of rude. I won't tell you exactly what I said, but it was rude. And it hurt her. And I said, oh, Lord, I rebuked my wife in front of her brother unnecessarily. And I was wrong. And the Lord forgave me, and now she's forgiven me. And we've got to look at the words of our mouth. We've got to look at the law of life that Dr. Mosley has talked about, and I'm going to have him talk a little bit later in this call, and look at the Word of God. Not only our Word, but the Word of God is more important, but the written and spoken Word, Ephesians 6:17, we've got to look at the Word, use the Word, speak the Word, and it's the very thing about the analogies of a wrestler and a warrior in Ephesians 6. We've got to wrestle against principalities in our Word, in what we're saying, in what we're doing. When the Lord talks about putting on the full armor of God, I love Ephesians. It's my favorite book because I've been a warrior all my life. I have a prayer that God gave me, and I'm just going to speak it right now for every one of us. Father, I just come right now, and first of all, I ask that you would wash us with the washing of the water of the Word, that every one of us could understand and receive what I'm about to do, that we gird our loins and shod our feet and legs with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It was not like some Greek in a pair of sandals and a cut-off tunic. It was the Praetorian guards that Paul was seeing when he prayed this prayer and wrote out about the full armor of God when he wrote the letter to Ephesus. It was in wintertime. They had on leather skirts that overlapped, and so a sword could not be stuck in and pulled up against them. They literally had what we would think of as soccer shin guards and football players' thigh guards. They had hobnail boots that they wore. So to have your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace means you prepare for war. The breastplates of righteousness, their breastplates were a combination of metal and oak stays and leather. and there was only one area of weakness. That'd be right under the armpit. Their helmets scooped down and up in the back, so if a sword hit, it wouldn't go against the neck. It would deflect off. Their shields were literally shaped like doors. They were over 30 inches wide and 40 inches tall, and they were very heavy and interlocked with the shield next to them. Some of them, who were archers, had a bow behind the shield as the handle. God showed me this. And they carried arrows. And others carried darts. And then the sword of thy spirit, which is an offensive weapon. And many of them had battle axes to break down the doors and the walls and take off the head of strong men. Then they had cloaks, which were cloaks called cloaks of humility, which hid the areas behind their back and under their arms that they'd be protected. Literally, we go forward now in the armor of God, which is literally you're putting on Christ, because he wants us to break into a plan of action as an army of God, prayer warriors who have been cleaned up, set free, who their bloodlines have been delivered, because you're becoming mighty oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to do the work of God in this season. I don't care if you're 16 years old or 96 years old, we have a work to do, and we're going to uncover the treasures of God, the words that have been hidden from Daniel's time to the book of Revelation. Things are being revealed. God is opening up his treasures. He's opening up the heavens to pour out a blessing that has not been seen. So we have to do, I'm going to quote from some of the different authors. This is from Kent Maddox. This was Paul Keith Davis spoke on one night. He talked about the treasures. Then Kent Maddox talked the next night about the treasure chest being opened. And he says that, we are going to get the reward, and he is our reward. We get the fullness of Jesus, his divine presence in our life. This is a season that we're to seek his presence. It's the most important thing that we can have. I'm going to share just a funny testimony, and it's a third-person testimony, so it won't be as potent as it came from Kent. Kent Maddox was a drug addict. His drug dealer was his wife, Bev, who was before they were married. And he was stoned out of his head one night, met with a friend, and they decided to go to a Benny Hinn meeting because his friend thought it would be really neat being stoned to be in one of those meetings. He was literally called out of the audience by Benny Hinn and prophesied over and said he was going to be a pastor. Within 2 weeks, he was working with Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn was raising him up. He took him to a pastor's meeting, and everybody was sitting around these pastors, and he was asking the different pastors what their burden was. And one would say, my burden is for China. Another one say, my burden is South America. Another one say, my burden is Vietnam. And right on through. And he was sitting there saying, oh, Lord, I don't have a burden. You're going to have to give me a burden. You either got to give me a burden or I'm going to have to lie about it. And the Spirit of God says, oh, no, you don't. So it came around to him, and he did what a streetwise minister would do. He improvised, and God gave him the word. And they came to him, and they said, Kent, what's your burden? He said, I don't have any burdens. And they said, what? He said, I gave them all to Jesus. Well, glory to God, he had the right answer. Benny then called him up to preach. And he came up, and he thought he was going to get blessed. And then Benny says, you're supposed to speak to us today. You're supposed to preach to the pastors. Well, here's a man that has just been saved a few weeks, that God sobered up, took him out of the drug world, and puts him in that situation, and he didn't know what to do. He said, I don't know anything about the word. So basically he said, Lord, the only thing that I know to do is call upon your presence. So he started praying and calling upon the presence of the Lord, and before he knew it, every man in that place was crying under the conviction of the presence of the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord. We need the conviction of the presence of the Lord. We've got to understand that we will see and behold and walk in the midst of the presence of the Lord in such a way that we will be changed forever. So it doesn't matter how many years you've been walking with him. It doesn't matter how much you know. What matters is that you seek his presence and let his presence come forth in a new and mighty way. Now, I'm just going to share a few things from a couple other people, and I'm going to call on Dr. Mosley and John to share. Now, I could get really into this. I could preach a lot of this, but I'd be preaching somebody else's word. So I just want to bring about that which was said. When Dr. Mosley asked John and I, because he didn't really know Dutch Sheets that well, and I said he had to be there Saturday night. They were getting tired like all of us. And I said, you got to be here for Saturday night. He says, well, what's Dutch Sheets like? And I says, fire. John said the same thing. That's all we say is fire. God is saying there's great violence in the earth right now. And we must press through the adversity to get to the opportunity of the harvest of the outpouring that God has for this season. God is saying that he is preparing us for this time. Every speaker this weekend said three things that confirmed, but Dutch said it the most. We have to deal with the bloodlines, the curses on the generations, and the land. Every minister had something to say about this. Every one of them came through with a word. But the most important thing I want you to understand, the Lord is saying, behold, I am here in the midst of you. I have heard your prayers. Stand and decree and declare the glory of the Lord, for there is no more delay. He is not going to delay any longer. He's bringing forth the dreams and visions that have been prophesied over you, that has been spoken to you. He says, this is the season of breaking curses of the generational iniquities, and unprecedented presence of angels are going to bring forth the giftings and the promise of the harvest that he's put in not only your bloodlines, but in you and for the generations to come. There's no more delay. No more delay for the miracles. No more delay for the signs and wonders. For the demonic depression and oppression that has come upon my children and caused them to miscarry and not give birth to that which I call them to is being broken off now. The transfer of wealth is being released right now. No more delay. There's no more delay in the creativity of that which I've called you in. There's no more delay in the money coming forth. There's going to be no more delay in the wealth transfer. There's going to be no more delay in the harvest. Your sons and your daughters are going to come in. I will finish that which I said I would do, and your destiny is now. Come forth, get in alignment with my word, finish that which I have called for you and the generations that are in your bloodline from the past, that the inheritance of the promise for you and your family will bring forth salvation, and you will finish well. The months ahead are being released now. That which is going to come in the future is being released now. I'm raising up a new breed of men and women and young people that are going to step into the realm of the promise for now. They're going to awake it. They're going to receive it. They're going to go forth as warriors. And my glory is going to be brought forth. I can't tell you enough how great the Word of God is going to be displayed in this season. I'm going to give you a couple examples. When I got there, I needed to find certain people. And I knew that I knew some of them and some of them I didn't, but God said I was going to lay hands on people. And people were going to lay hands on me. And he says, I want you to wake up as a warrior that I called you to be and go forth in the anointing of healing, bring deliverance to the people. And I said, okay, Lord. So people were looking for me, and I was looking for people. I had an urgency to leave in the beginning of worship, or it was about the middle of worship on Sunday morning, and go into the bookstore and buy some books and DVDs and CDs. And I said, Lord, I don't know why I got to do it now, but I got to go right now. And I got up and left from those I was with and went in there. And as I was purchasing them, I felt a presence behind me. And I turned around. There was a lady that I prayed for that many of you heard the testimony that Linus, who's on the call, and I prayed for. I think it's almost 3 years ago now. And I had just been healed of heart disease and I told the doctors that after prayer on Passover that the following month that I was going to be totally healed. I came back and I was totally healed. When they went into my heart, there was no scar tissue, which they said was impossible. I had 46% scarring. The five blockages that they were said was there were gone. The scarring was gone, and I was in and out of the hospital in 2 hours after being in my heart with a scope. And they were going to do a five-way bypass. The next 2 weeks later, I went back to the church, and Linus had made arrangements for me to pray with a young lady. I was a young lady. She's 72 yesterday. I prayed for happy birthday to her. But she has a joy on her, and we prayed for her, and God healed her. I had a word from the Lord, and I said, God is not only healing your heart, go back to your doctor, demand that he do this test. He's going to fight you because he wants to do the surgery, but you're going to have to demand it and let him know that you're the one in charge, and there's not going to be any blockages, and there wasn't any. So she called me up on the following Wednesday, and she says, there's no blockages, no blockages. I says, now you have to go back to the oncologist, because I had a word at the same time, he's healing you of cancer, but I couldn't bring it to you because you didn't have the faith to accept both of them at the same time. Go back now, you've been healed of cancer. So she went back, and she was eaten up with cancer. She was so eaten up that they were going to have to take out her uterus, part of her intestine. They were looking at other problems as far as her liver and pancreas and everything, and God had healed everything. So I turn around, and there she is. And she says, I got up this morning and God said I had to come find you, that you're going to come and pray for me. Pituitary gland is shut down, and he said you would, when you prayed for me, it would open it back up. So I prayed for it, and the power of God fell in the bookstore, and I thought both of us were going to fall in the middle of a crowd. I walk out of there, and I walk back into the service, and God says, look for Linda. Now, this was a friend of mine, and I turned around, and I hadn't seen her in a year, and there she was. She says, God told me to come find you. You're going to pray for me. I'm going to be healed. So I found a woman in Lori, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and God opened up everything that was a problem and healed her on the spot. It's not because of I have the anointing. It's because the anointing of God was in the place, and all those that wanted to be and were willing to be servants of the Lord to do that which he said was going to be done. Signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, tongues, break forth in great multitudes of people. And there was going to be an outpouring that began there and changed the seasons ahead, and we would start decreeing things. We'd start decreeing over the land. We'd start decreeing over our families. The very things we've been doing on this call for 14 weeks, the Lord says, this is now going to happen to the multitudes. So you've been trained up as disciples. Most of you have the books. You've been prayed over, and we're going to pray some more, and God is going to move in a new way during this season. These next 10 days, it ends Saturday, is the days of all. We need to pray and get the rest of our family and ourselves cleaned up. Ask the Lord, what else is it that is being held back? What is in the bloodline? What is in my ancestry? What is the blessing that you wanted to give? What are the crowns of righteousness and glory that were supposed to come forth? What are the ministries that didn't get completed? Lord, we relent the sins of the bloodline because of the failure and the oath breaking. And I go back all the way to what Robert Heidler talked about, the seven areas, racism, robbing God, robbing man, dishonoring your parents, idle words, which I did, you know, and you're going to have to catch them right then when it happens. Some of you have tempers, are going to have to lay that temper down. You know, covenant breaking, oath breaking before the Lord, breaking of relationships. These things have got to be dealt with, breaking of vows before the Lord, because God is going to now start using you, and you're going to go out. You're going to do things you never thought were possible. You're going to have a new boldness now, because I release boldness in the name of Jesus Christ over each and every one of you. You're going to have an awakening within you that you haven't seen before, and God is going to use you mightily. We're going to keep on doing this, and we're going to have breakthroughs, but there's going to be a season in your life now where you're going to come against that Jezebel spirit that's in your church. You're going to come against it that's been in your family, that's been at work, and you're going to speak over it, and you're going to cancel the assignment of Jezebel and Baal. You're going to destroy that demonic stronghold where you are and the inheritance that they had stolen over your lives and over the church body and over the business and over your work, the spirits of hopelessness that has been caused and brought about is going to be destroyed. There's going to be breakthrough. There's going to be a touch of heaven in your life that you've not seen before, and you're going to be amazed. Don't get all puffed up. It ain't got a thing to do with you. It has everything to do with the Lord. This is his promise for this season. He's saying this today. He's saying, I have it under control. Do what I tell you to do. Get in the middle of what I'm doing, and I will, through love and mercy and grace, bring forth a reaping of that which you didn't even sow. I'm going to bring forth a harvest of something that was planted years ago in people's lives, and you're going to be a reaper, and you're going to overtake the sower. You're going to break down the strongholds. You're going to bring about change in people's lives that they've never seen before. You're going to make decrees that are going to shake the kingdom of the enemy in such a way that it will continually go forth from this point on, that the schemes of the devil will come before you, you'll recognize them, and you will say, you're not going to accept that. And you're going to break that curse and stronghold in Jesus' name. And there's going to be a newness within you. There's going to be refreshing. And that which was brought about in confusion is going to be brought into clarity. And those of you that are experiencing a burden are going to release the burden. Just as Kent Maddox said, you don't have a burden for anything because you laid all the burdens upon Jesus. And in that, you're going to be set free, and you're going to set other people free, because it's no longer going to be a burden to you. It's going to be a joy. And those of you that, I'm not telling you to go out and start a church. I'm not saying you're going to become pastors if you're not called. I'm not saying you're going to come up a praise leader if you're not called to be a praise leader. What I'm saying is the gifts and the promises of the Lord are no longer going to be delayed. We step into a season and a year of release, and the whirlwinds are going to come. And there's going to be joy in your family like you've never experienced. So all I'm asking you is to receive it, that the glory of the Lord can be poured out. Father, I just ask for each and every person that has ears to hear this night, that is on this call, those that will listen to the call. Lord, I cannot bring what was brought in 5 days or 4 days and just an hour. But Lord, just a snippet, let the word of your glory go forth. Let the word of release, let the word of that brings forth freedom from bondage, that you'd be glorified. Lord, we have been studying how to break off curses and how not to enter into them again, how to lay down anger, how to lay down bitterness and resentment, how to relent, which is letting go, breaking off of the sins of the forefathers, and how important that is. So, Lord, you've said through the prophets this week, and you've confirmed it over and over again, no more delay, no more delay, no more delay. The promise of the covenant will have no more delay if we seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness and your glory. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for that word. I thank you. I thank you. Linus, I'm calling on you first. I know you've learned to expect me to call on you. But you called me on my way back and you shared something. Now, Linus is in Tennessee. He'll give you exactly where and talk about his church for a second because I want him to. But he had a guest speaker. And Linus, will you share that which God did in your congregation this weekend, the word that was brought
forth? Sure, Wade. I'm in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's about 40 miles or 40 minutes south of Nashville on Interstate 24. Let me back up about 2 months ago, because our daughter, who is here in Murfreesboro, she lives probably about 3 miles from us, had a dream. And in the dream, we were all, the family was in a banker's office and were getting ready to close a deal, of which that we were to receive some inheritance. And the banker came in and he said, it's not going to happen today. Things are not going to fall in place today. And, just sorry for the delay. And the Lord woke my daughter up, Tiffany, and said, you need to begin to declare and pray into that there will be no more delays. So we began 2 months ago to pray and declare as a family no more delay, for the promises to be released, for healing to be released, for, you know, the promises of God, the blessings of God to be released. And then Sunday, we were in a conference Thursday night through Sunday morning, and Sunday morning Mahesh Shavda was speaking, and in his message he came to a point and he said, and I hear the Lord saying that there will be no more delays. We are to begin to declare no more delays, and no more delays to the promises, no more delays to healings and miracles, no more delays to the financial blessing. And in fact, he stopped and began to pray for people that needed jobs and needed financial release. And, of course, he did not know that Saturday night at Glory of Zion in Denton, Texas, where Wade was at, that Dutch Sheets had shared the message on Saturday night of declare no more delay. So I feel like that this is a current word of the Lord for the body of Christ. And as Wade has already so eloquently instructed us, we need to stand as believers, and we need to declare and decree no more delay in whatever area of your life that God has given you a word of the Lord, that we need to stand together and declare and decree no more delays. Delay, cease, and that the blessings of God be released in our lives.
So, Linus, would you just pray that over us? Break it forth. Bring it.
Father, we just stand in agreement, and we stand according to your word and declare and decree according to the words of the prophets that there will be no more delay. Financial blessings that have been promised to us and have been spoken to us both prophetically and also business deals that have been held up, we just say and declare in the name of Jesus, no more delays. Healings, miracles, spirits of infirmities that have been holding back and hindering the release of God's healing in our lives. I just say no more delays. You must go in the name of Jesus, and we declare that by Jesus' stripes that your people are healed and that we walk in wholeness and we walk in restoration. Lord, I just also stand in agreement for family situations that there will be no more delays, that there will be blessing, there will be release and increase in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just see that for some that are on this call, that there have been promotions that have been promised, and yet those promotions have been delayed. So we speak now and declare in the name of Jesus, no more delay. This is the year of the double five and the double seven, and so we just declare that the double doors will open and that there will be no more delay. We declare it and decree it now, and we release it into this phone call and into every household that's represented here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we're at a point, the Holy Spirit's all over me right now. You know, that when you're in a meeting like we were in and you hear a trumpet blast, if you've never heard the sound of the ram's horn, it will literally just bless you beyond imagination. You can sense it all the way down in your spirit what God's doing and how he is moving within that ram's horn blowing. And it is such a joy to understand times and seasons that I didn't know anything about before getting involved in all this, understanding Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, and I have all those Bibles now, and I love to study them. And when you get deep down in you that five is grace, And seven is perfection. So he says, I'm bringing in grace for perfection and perfection into grace in your life this year, that this is a year that you're going to get grace coming and going. And the only way you can get grace is to get mercy. And how you get mercy is to repent. So even those that are in your family, bloodline, that did not have anything to do with the Lord, do not have any connection with you or the body of Christ, they're going to get blessed simply because of what you did. And there's going to be a shifting and a shaking. And we have to understand that we are in a position, and I to those that are in the Republic, I said this again on a leadership call this afternoon, our job is to educate. It's not to take over anything. We're to surrender unto the Lord, and he will raise up. So what we have to understand is our job is to educate people and to bring about a knowledge and understanding of what is being taught through our schools, but also the Word of God. That we need the fullness of God to be poured out like never before. And we need to understand, like Dr. Mosley's series, he and I are going to be talking here this week, and he doesn't know what I'm going to ask him, but after what I'm just saying, he's going to guess it. We need to understand the laws of life. We need to understand Dr. Marlene McMillan's teaching on the dialectic process and what they've done in the school systems and in law to twist words to mean something entirely different than what we think they do. We need to understand that God's promise in Isaiah 61 that we are called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and that his splendor is going to be poured out. We need to understand Ephesians. We need to understand the books of the law, which are the entire Bible. You know, and you need to understand that God is going to pour out his word, and there's going to be people who will speak it to you to show how much you're loved and appreciated. There are you and some of you, and even, you know, there's several doctors, PhDs, MDs, that are calling, you know, on this call on a regular basis. And you need to understand that God appreciates you so much, and that's the reason you're being raised up for this season. That's the reason you're being used, and God is drawing you out, putting you in new places. You need to understand that his great love and mercy is going to pour out in such a way that grace is going to shine forth, and you're going to be a light in the darkness. And you're going to do that which you had no concept, and he's going to make a way, and he's going to make the provision. Now, in provision, I won't go into detail on this, but I've heard from numerous sources that are government sources, that are treasury sources, UN sources, that are all saying the same thing. There is something happening. Things are happening now that has not been seen, and things are in place, so we just have to believe and be willing to receive. Dr. Mosley, I was talking about you, so I'm going to ask you to share some about a snippet of the experiences that you had this weekend and however God wants to bring you, because I'm not going to call on many people for prayer tonight. I want them to get pieces of what we had, and then I will talk to people about prayer. And to be like Linus, I'll actually be calling on people to bless us in what they say. So Dr. Mosley, Dr. Fred Mosley.
That's Evan Wade. Thank you very much. And you have done a thorough job by way of giving insights with respect to the conference and a very thorough overview. And there's just a few things I would like to interject. One being is that my first experience being involved in a conference such as that. It was extremely enlightening. But what, along with that, got my attention is that there were people from many, many nations around the world, many different races and cultures represented, and all ages, educational levels, economic levels, all there in that setting. And people were so gracious and so warm. And my wife and I were just overwhelmed with the warmth that was there. And it was genuine. It was not a pretense. And we were just tremendously blessed to be in a setting such as that. In particular, I would just like to make reference to one or two areas that of the speakers, and all the speakers were very anointed and brought forth a tremendous word. But I'm sure Chaplain Wade recalls one of the speakers making reference to hidden treasure. And he gave examples of precious metals and silver and gold that had been buried for hundreds of years, and in some instances even thousands of years, and it's being discovered. And what I found interesting is that that silver and that gold, those precious metals had been there all the time. But those who had been traversing that area did not get the revelation of where it was and were unable to discover it. So the spiritual message I got from that is that as believers, as we operate under this open heaven and all that has been prophesied, we are going to have to be alert to that which God is bringing to us. And then my wife and I got a quick example of that, and I hadn't had a chance to share this with you, Chaplain Wade, but when the room where we were going over, I think it was called the Green Room, where we had the nice meals that they provided for us, I think it was Saturday afternoon. Saturday. And that was after the message on the hidden treasures and all of that. My wife was walking past the area where they had the desserts, and there was a wad of money on the floor. And it wasn't anything significant, a few dollar bills. And, of course, we found one of the attendants. They had handed it to that attendant to make certain it got into the right hands, a place in the collection or whatever. But the message that God gave me from that is that with as many people, there were a number of people in and out of that room moving around the dessert table and other areas where food was being offered and served, nobody saw it. And the lesson that we derive from it is that that's how, unfortunately, many believers are going to miss some of the blessings of these last days, is that we're not going to be alert for it. We will not have gotten the revelation from God as to where to look, when to look, how to look. God can bring it any way he chooses to. He can bring it through angels. It can drop down from the sky. As the speaker spoke about, it can be in the waters. It can be in the sand. So we need to be on the alert for however God chooses to bring it. And that was one of the major points, along with so many others, that I got from the conference. And also along with that, the word suddenly was mentioned on a number of occasions. And that's a word that has been in my spirit for the last several weeks and months, because throughout Scripture you can find where God moves suddenly in many circumstances and in many situations. And for those who are on the call on this call, I'm looking for some suddenlies in these last days, some sudden breakthroughs, some sudden occurrences wherein curses are broken and where resources are being brought in. So I just perceive that based upon that powerful prophetic word that went forth, that we ought to be on the alert for the suddenlies that are coming forth in this season. Nextly, and Pastor Linus mentioned the no more delays. And I have to piggyback on that just a little bit. And by the way, Pastor Linus, I've been to Murfreesboro and was treated royally in Murfreesboro some years ago. But as it relates to the no more delays, that word came to us by Dutch Sheets on 9/18, if I recall correctly. And I know, no, 9/27, I'm sorry, 9/27. And I had received a similar word from a brother in Cleveland, but I did not perceive it to be identical to that word. So when my wife and I returned home, I went back to the notes of the conversation that he and I had on 9/18. Now, the word that came from Dutch Sheets was on 9/27, but this goes back to 9/18. And for those of you who are on the call, just as Pastor Linus mentioned, in the dream that his daughter had, the message that came forth, and the dream that his daughter had concerning no more delays. I went back to my notes, and those were the exact words that came forth from this brother, this prophet, and this pastor. No more delays. And I truly perceive that is a word. I'm just so thankful for the prayer that came forth from Pastor Linus and the decree and the declaring and the proclaiming that we're going to stand firm and stand strong in this season. No more delays. And just lastly, after having gone through or experienced such a great and anointed conference, and Chaplain Wade has sort of alluded to it, a little discourse that he and his wife had as they were traveling back, my wife and I came back to reality. We came back to so much of this stuff that we had left to come to the conference. But the thing of it is, and I think we have to be mindful of, it's regardless of what's swirling around right now, what's trying to dissuade us right now, that we have gotten a word from God, and we have to hold to these promises, and in particular to that word, no more delays. And I was just blessed, just truly blessed, and I'm still on fire.
I tell you what, every time his beautiful wife, I teased him while he was there. I said, how do you get this beautiful young wife? And she's as sweet as can be. And she was sitting to his left, and I was to his right, or my wife would be in between us at different times, or even John. And yeah, they'd bring the word, and we'd look at each other and just point at each other. Yeah, that's right. That's, you know, it's right where we are.
Yes.
Because of what God was saying. And you wrote in your book and on page 41, the law of notice and warning. And God has given us a notice, and that's just what you guys are saying. God has given us a notice that there's no more delay.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no more delay. That's a notice. That's his word.
That's a notice. That's right.
But there's also a warning, and we got to look for the warning signs not to be tripped up. Now, the example he gave is perfect. I've been on a diet for 3 months, and I'm going to tell you what, when I saw that dessert tray, if it had been a stack of $100 bills, I wouldn't have looked down to see it. And that's a shame because I got distracted. Now, I had one little piece of cake, and it made me miserable. I'm not saying that money would have been mine. I'm saying that in life, you're going to get the notice that something's coming up. But there's also going to be warning signs that you're going to miss it. The word is if and then. If you do this, then this is going to be what happened. But if you don't do it, it's going to have a different outcome. So that law is an absolute. And what we have missed in education today is this core education takes away all absolutes and brings that dialectic process in that dilutes the word. So reality is no longer there. What we experienced this weekend was reality, the truth of God's word. And he's also bringing a warning in it, that if we do not pay attention to the season and the warning signs that are ahead of us, we will miss the treasures.
Yes.
And there are treasures sitting there waiting for us, just like Dr. Mosley's saying. There are treasures in the Word, and John said this to me. He says, man, you know, you read something 20 times, and I says, yeah, the 21st time you finally get it. The hidden treasure of that Word, and this is what's being poured out right now. And what a pleasure, sir, to meet your beautiful wife and yourself and to spend the time with you and a hug on your neck and to be a part of it. My wife fell in love with you all, and we're looking forward to spending a lot of time together. It's going
likewise
to be good.
Likewise here. Likewise here. We're
going
truly
to
blessed.
Speak and sing and praise and worship the Lord together.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you for your sharing. Is there anything else you'd like to share, or would you like to pull things together in a prayer for us over this?
Well, yes, and I'd like to mention one other item that I missed a few minutes ago. You gave me a word, and I've forgotten what night it was, but you gave me a word of restoration, because you are somewhat familiar with my testimony.
Yeah.
But there was one aspect of that word I know that I had not shared with you, and I know that was not mentioned during the testimony that I sent for you to have an opportunity to view. And you gave me a specific word concerning my retirement fund that had been held up. And, brother, I know you didn't know that, but that is how the Spirit of God operates, to cause a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge to come forth to confirm that prophetic word that is coming forth. And, brother, that was a word that you gave concerning that being even restored and doubled, that you had no idea that my retirement fund had been held up and was being delayed by way of coming forth. So I just want to share that as a word of encouragement to you, because the word was truly flowing from you as well as all the other great speakers that were there. So, Father, right now, we just come to you in the precious name of Jesus. And, dear God, we just thank you. We just thank you so very much for this opportunity to share with one another, to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to give a review of all that took place over this last weekend. And, Father, we just ask that we would appropriate everything that came forth, that this was such precious information that we avail ourselves or was availed to us, and that we would walk in it. And dear God, under the law of accountability and responsibility, we're held accountable for that word that went forth. And as has been pointed out under the law of notice and warning, you are giving us notices with respect to the many, many blessings that you have already ordained that have been loosed in the earth for us, but likewise you have given us warnings that we need to be steadfast and alert and ready for these tumultuous times that we're operating in. So we just come thanking you and giving you praise and giving you glory and looking for all of the great things that have been committed, that have been promised, and we just ask that we will be as faithful to you as you are to us. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Glory. Woo, that's good word. Good word.
Praise God. Praise God.
Thank
amen,
you.
Amen.
Mr. Rockwell, since you're amen, amening, share.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of that over the weekend, that's for sure. I kind of wondered where I want to start. I know exactly where I want to end, but I think one thing that struck me, and it wasn't really mentioned at the conference, it was mentioned before by Chuck, I think several weeks ago, when he was talking about coming into this year, that this year is a reflection year of 5775. So basically, it's, you know, looking at each other, the way the numbers are that come together. And oddly enough, talking about grace and completeness, my name means Yahweh is gracious. And I happen to be 55. So I'm in a reflection year as well in that regard. It was something that kind of struck me as everybody's been talking tonight. I just thought that was kind of interesting, and it just kind of flowed because I'd heard that before from Chuck. As I got in the days leading up to heading down to Dallas, as everybody probably knows, that I'm up in the Northwest, so I had to travel a great distance. It was a huge battle inside of myself to make the trip, and of course the Lord won out, and then I went down there. And as I was telling Wade before, I have never in my life gotten so much spiritual meat as I did in those 3 days. When I arrived there, I immediately could feel the presence of the Spirit overwhelm me. Wade says, it's not time for this yet. We're just not even getting signed up. But that was just just a release for me. To be there, to know that the Spirit was in this place, and it was heavy in this place all weekend long, and there were battles being fought all weekend long in myself to progress and start chewing on the meat. It's going to be months before everything is probably culminated and digested in me what went on over the weekend. A few things that kind of struck me, and I don't remember which speaker it was, but one of them spoke of this generation that is in their late teens and early 20s, that they were going to come up on the scene and they were going to be powerful, powerful warriors that we have never seen in this land for Jehovah and Yeshua. And they're young and vibrant and have the energy to move forward, and they'll bring many, many to Christ in that regard. That was one thing that struck me. Number two that struck me was one of the speakers was talking about, and all of them did, but this particular one's talking about our war with the adversary, with Satan, and he was saying that he envisioned swords coming down from heaven, and that all we had to do is reach up and grab the swords with our hand, and after we each grab swords, then he said, spin where you're at and claim your circle. This is your circle. And that claim and decree that Satan and his demons cannot enter your circle. That circle is yours. Claim that circle and just continue to go around with those swords to claim your space that cannot be penetrated by the enemy. And I want to touch on Dr. Mosley's talking about the treasures, but that stuck in my mind as well. But the very last thing, and to me the pinnacle of the conference, is three words. And those three words were spoken by Dutch Sheets. I could not count probably 50 or 60 times. And the first or second time that he said, no more delay, no more delay, the room that we were in, which I think seated like 3,000 people from what Wade told me, that room shook so hard that I thought we were having an earthquake. The people were just screaming that, you know, this is going to come about. But just Dutch kept on repeating that he read a prophecy of somebody that had prophesied a few days before. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but as he got towards the end is when he said, no more delay, and I'm going to break your eardrums, because Dutch did it several times as well, but I'm going to say, no more delay! No more delay. No more delay. And I can't be like Dutch, but that's what I felt when he was talking about no more delay. So that's just just kind of a synopsis of what I brought away with it, just because I'm more reserved and kind of encapsulate things. That's the radio person in me, just get to the point and get to it. But that's kind of what the whole weekend was, how I was the whole weekend, and I'll never forget it. Like I said, I'm going to be chewing on it for months, but appreciate being with Wade and Dr. Mosley and his wife and Wade's wife, and appreciate Chuck Pierce allowing us to be guests and being able to give us all the meals. It was just a blessing to be there. And I'm so wore out. I didn't get home until late last night, and I haven't had a whole lot of energy today. I'm hoping that I can rest good tonight to where I'll be back to normal. But anyway, that's my testimony, as it may be. So I'm hoping you all have your ears. And I'll go ahead and yield with that.
And I can get John to attest to this. Fred and I married up. Would you?
Yes, we did.
We both have beautiful wives that have stood with us in the midst of the storm.
Yes.
They're our queens.
Yes, they are.
I have one as well.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yep. Again, I want to encourage you to go back to this word. We're in a season of breaking of curses, of generational iniquities, and unprecedented angelic activity to bring to and from heaven that which we need to create a harvest that will change the world. There's no more delay in miracles. There's no more delay in finances. There's no more delay in your children coming in. The oppressor is going to be shut down. You're going to have to pray it through. But he's answering prayers. Now, let me give you a perfect example. Many of you know that my wife has a business that's 172 years old. Our children will be the sixth generation. It is a Western stores, but we're high-end Western boutiques. And John got to go into one of the stores on his way out. And, John, would you say that's a nice place?
Definitely. It definitely has got some real nice Western stuff. And it's reasonably priced, as far as I can tell, not knowing a lot about Western stuff. But, yes, they're very nice stores, the one that I was in.
That has been her business, and I ran it with her for 20-some years while I pastored. I was fortunate that that supplied our income, and I never had to take anything from the church. We just used it in missions. Now, that's not boasting to me. It's just the blessing God gave us through that. And we were notified just a week or so ago. Some of you heard me talk about it, but it was reconfirmed that they're not going to renew us. A big corporation bought it out, bought the company out that we're partners with, and they don't want to pay us what they've been paying us. And so she had asked last Monday night during our prayer call, in her prayer, she asked the Lord to trouble Chuck. And Linus will get a kick out of this because he knows how Chuck is. Chuck walks with angels, and Chuck will even understand this. Chuck's a weird guy. He's a weird duck, okay? You know, he can be social, but he's also extremely gracious to people when he, you know, meeting them and sharing ministry. But I got, you know, if I could get 45 seconds to a minute of Chuck's time to share something, and I talked to other pastors and on the staff about it, and they said, man, you did well. You got 45 seconds? I said, yeah, I got the whole sentence out. And it's not that Chuck is being rude. It's just that he's seeing in a realm. He's seeing in another dimension. So all of a sudden he sees something over here, he's got to go minister. He's got to go give a word, or somebody's calling on him. So when Francis asked the Lord to trouble Chuck and not let him sleep, the man doesn't sleep anyhow. 3 hours, 4 hours max a night. And he's, you know, he's just on the go all the time. So I said, what did you pray? She said, I just asked the Lord to trouble him that he would have a word for us. So Monday night, Chuck could not sleep. And he got up and called one of his head intercessors, named Marty Cassidy, and says, you call the butlers as soon as it's time you think they might be up. Called her at 6 in the morning. And he says, I want you to call Wade and Francis and see what's going on. God had me praying, and he troubled me all night long. So she called, and I told her what was happening and things that I was involved with, and grant writing to the UN and other things. And she prayed and went into the Spirit and saw basically three scrolls that were posted on a bulletin board of God's plans, and gave us a word. And then I called Francis to tell her, and Francis was shouting, jumping up and down. Now, my wife is extremely conservative and quiet unless she gets to know you're in a private setting. And she can be loud. One of the things that I loved about my wife when I met her, when she laughs, it comes kind of from her toenails up, so the time it comes out, it's just a uncontrollable laugh if something really tickles her. But she's not good in confrontation. She goes into a shutdown mode, so she'll just back off. And I'm the guy that'll, you know, if somebody bothers my wife, you don't want to be the person that does it if I'm there. And I think your buddy will understand from there, because I will get in your face. So she, when I called and said that Marty had a word and prophesied over us and I shared it, she was shouting, jumping up and down, dancing around in her office, and I had to laugh. So when I got to see Chuck Pierce Thursday night, I said, Chuck, I want to apologize about Monday night. And I said, Francis asked the Lord to trouble you all night until you got prayed through for us. And he says, Wade, he wouldn't let me alone about you. He says, I had to get up first thing in the morning and call Marty and tell her to call you guys, because I had to go do this prayer. You know, I was doing prayer that morning, and I needed her to check on you all and see what was going on as soon as you got going. Well, she called me at 8:30, which is early for some, and brought that word. The point being is that God is hearing your prayers. You might not know that he's hearing your prayers or that he's answering your prayers, but as soon as Francis prayed that prayer, and Francis and I are no more important or special than you all, God answered that prayer immediately and brought forth a word that gave her peace in the midst of the storm that we're going through on our finances. That is our income. And to shut down a six-generation, 172-year business that is a legacy, what we've been praying about, legacies, an icon, been voted the best of the best more times than any other store than Neiman Marcus is the only one that's beat us in our field. You know, there's nobody else that's beaten us. And to have it potentially just go away, because she and I are not going to go out and borrow millions of dollars at our age to try to carry this on. So it's got to be of the Lord. And for him to say that I've got plans for you that fill up scrolls. So what are the plans? Well, his plans for me, part of it is my destiny, is to be an encourager and to be a teacher that brings forth discipleship. And that's what I've been doing for these 14 weeks. The land that had to be clean was you. I think many of you have gotten that now. Then you get to cleanse your property. And then you get to go out and deal with the city and the state and the nation. But as the word said that I read earlier, he has heard your prayers. This was from a different prophet. This word came forth on the 23rd, see if I can find it again. And he's heard your prayers. And because of that, he is freeing up the nation. Now, I don't know how many of you get this, but God said because of your prayers, that he has heard your prayers, and because you have repented and returned to me, I will free up your nation. This was today. This was Raz Robinson. As a result of faith, he's counting it as righteousness unto you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid or intimidated to pray. Matt and I talked about this a couple times. That, you know, our prayers, the times that we're in, the seasons that we're in, we're going to go on and do business. Matt and I got business to do together. Linus and I are working on some things. Several people on this call and I are working on different projects for the kingdom. Okay, we're going to go on and do those projects as if he's not going to be here for 27 years. But also knowing that the season that we're in is the most important season in history to this date. And the prophet said, we're entering the season of breaking of curses and generational iniquities that's unprecedented in history. And we let out for this nation this call. We are some of the first doing this, and the prophets are now jumping on it. And the word is, we shall finish well. We are being released now. We're going to finish well and raise up those that will come behind us to do even a greater work than us, but we're going to be part of it. The old and the new are going to join together. So what a promise, what a blessing, what an opportunity to go forth. I'm going to call just on a couple more. I'm not going to get into a lot of things about finances and stuff. David, did you not watch some of the conference online?
Yeah, I did.
Would you like to share anything about what you sensed the Spirit was saying?
What I sensed was in the Spirit was that not just to be a person of the walls breaking down and things in that, I sensed that God was breaking down things of the barriers of our concept of what we think He is and what He's not and what He is. I sensed that in the sense of the message that was given was, I'm about to do some things that you have no ability to do in yourself, but I will do it through you and to you. And then to you, first of all, to you, and then through you. And the fact that it, and the fact that that's where, you know, what we've been dealing with. We've been dealing with where a lot of cleaning up the land so that first He can bless us in our being, not necessarily the land yet, but our being, in our being by being connected in a deeper revelation and a different way with God, meaning deeper, wider, more revelation, more light, more insight, more wisdom, the ability to walk in His Spirit on a longer basis, and you know, on a 24-hour basis, actually. And so, you know, there's just certain things that are there that I've just, I began to see. And what God was speaking to me was that I am releasing the group, these people, to be able to walk in my Spirit, to transition from being necessarily a soulish Christian walk, nor to now a spiritual walk where the power and dimension can be displayed. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something that has happened here today regarding here at home since I've watched the conference. We went to Chick-fil-A, and we ordered our stuff, and the cashier said, it's on the house. You don't have to pay. No, I'm paying for it. God moving and doing something to me without me having to do anything at all, except just be in Him. And then when we got home from the stuff that we had to do, a friend of mine who's been staying with me opened up a box that he got from a friend of his who sent a model. And in there was $125 in cash. God once again shows up in the situation where it is a whole new realm of blessing and favor of God and man being put on the earth. And that's the thing that I got more than anything, is that God is transitioning to where favor in His sight and the sight of man because of the genuine love that has been shed upon our hearts because of what Yeshua did on the cross. And so that's the thing that that I got out of the conference, is that it's no longer us trying to press in necessarily. It is us by resting in Him and the fact of listening to His Spirit and doing what we are supposed to be doing by obedience of what He shows. Because I was driving today. Where are we going to go have lunch today? Well, God said Chick-fil-A. And then He showed me which one it was. And I went directly to that place in the way that I felt He wanted me to go. And so that whole thing about walking in the realm of the divine nature of God and moving through His Spirit, and when we do that, He blesses us, and then some really awesome news took place in the realms of the financial thing that Wade was alluding today. I got intel information that it actually, things did take place, and certain very, very powerful things that are getting ready to be released in Europe. And, you know, so God's moving. The delays have been broken, and it reminded me of a word that I got from a prophet many, many years ago in the 90s. And that word was, and I think it was Ezekiel, where it said, let the visions be no more delayed. So the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, there is no more delay. The vision will come forth. And so, you know, and last night, there was such a powerful presence in the room, in the house, all over. I was walking in this thing. You guys said, take communion, take covenant right now. And so I got everybody together, took it, and something broke through. And the result of what broke through was the reports and the way things happened today, based upon everything that's been released from the conferences that I saw online to what is being done now. And yes, God's going to be able to take us. One thing when Ken Mannix and his prophecy, and not prophecy, but his teaching and his word about how he was, you know, hey, I'm only been 2 weeks in this thing, you know, and now I'm preaching like a pastor type of thing. Wow, don't be surprised if God takes you in a place that you don't think that you're qualified for and does something with you on it.
Yes.
And that he will be able to do stuff that is exceedingly abundantly above all what you could think or ask or feel that you are, because he can do it. And so, Father in heaven, I lift up to everybody in the sound of my voice that, yes, indeed, fact, delay no more. And that, Father, that you finally go in and manifest your glory now, that there might be testimonies next week of how you moved this week in the lives of many here today, that you will have a testimony here of people that will talk about what you did this week for them, that will exceedingly blow their minds into a new reality of who you really are. And it's going to be, Father, but not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you are now broken forth, and this is the new year. And Father, you gave me something, and I hear, listen to this. It is 5775. It is looking into the mirror. If you take the number 57 and put it in the mirror, it looks like 75. If you put it in the mirror face to face, you know, seven to seven, it will reverse. It will look reversed. And so it is looking into the mirror of God, the year of the mirror, the year of looking into the mirror of God manifesting who he is by the mirror of his word in you. And the word that's in you will be brought to the surface. And how it will change the way that you look at yourself. And so that's, you know, what I understand right now.
Praise God.
So thank you. And so we thank you, Father, for this release into what you are doing in this group today. That these be the first fruits of what is happening in regards of turning the world upside down, turning the United States back to the righteousness that is found in God, in Yeshua HaMashiach. And we thank you for that. Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Encourage everyone on this call every day this week. We're in the time, and you say, well, I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not Jewish. guess what? You were adopted into his kingdom, and he practices the Hebrew religion. He didn't practice the Jewish religion. He practiced Hebrew. And this is the time and the season of repentance. With Friday evenings through Saturday morning being the Day of Atonement, every day ask the Lord to show you anything that's in your bloodline, your family tree, from either side, all the way back, that needs to be broken, relented off of the bloodline, confessed, and asked forgiveness for, that you and your family may be set free, that next week we'll go in and start setting the cities free. And I want you to take communion every day. Don't do it flippantly. Ask the Lord, because that can actually bring curses on you. And I can show you in the Word. Sickness came on people because they took communion in wrong attitude. Ask the Lord to show you these things, repent, and then do it honoring Him. Take communion every day. Take communion on your property again, and then Friday, fast at least one meal. Friday's a day of fasting. So if you want to do the evening meal or lunch, or breakfast, whatever it is, but give at least one meal, and if you're able, give all day Friday to the Lord in fasting and watch what He'll do. Amazingly powerful things are going to happen. Also, most people that have been regulars on the call have received the books that I have. I was able to purchase their last six of each book at this conference on the courtrooms of heaven, the petitions, From God's Hand to Your Land, and then I got 10 more from Dr. Mosley on the laws of life. Be more than happy to send those out to anybody. I've only actually got five of everything because one's already committed. So I have five books left of each one if you did not receive them. People have given and blessed us to be able to buy the books. So I want you to be blessed. I want you to get the material. I want you to do what it says and be set free. Also recognize that which we've talked about tonight, the Lord said nothing is going to stop this move. The Lord spoke it through the prophets. He says nothing will stop this move. Don't get in the way. Get in the flow. You can contact me at 281-236-8442. I am very busy. I might not get your call. I might not be able to call you right back. So you can email me or text me on that number. I do get text on that number. But my email is reyesvine. It's the Lord's Vine, half Spanish, half English. R-E-Y-S, the Lord, Reyes, Vine, V-I-N-E. It's out of John 15:5, at sbcglobal.net. Again, reyesvine at sbcglobal.net if you need the books. And I'll get them out to you right away. I'll get them out to you Wednesday. If you either text me or send me in, if I have those available for you. I can't thank you enough. I'm not going to go any further. We've covered really what the Lord put on my heart. I'd love to preach these messages, but they weren't my messages. I can give you pieces of them. So, you know, we are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing to enter into the kingdom of God's work for His blessing to overtake us. So with that, I'm going to close. Father, I just thank You. I thank You for Your Word and the washing of the water of Your Word. I thank You for the promise. I thank You for the excitement of the prophets. I thank You for the teachers. I thank You for the writers and instructors. I thank You for those on this call, those that spoke, Linus and Fred and John and David, and those that normally participate and those that are going to listen. Lord, I thank You for them. I speak blessings over each and every one of them and their families. Lord, that Your mercy and grace would overshadow them and that they would find hidden treasures within their own family and actually on their property. If there's something hidden on their property, reveal it to them. There's no telling. There could be all kinds of things hidden there. the Lord, show them what it is and show them the hidden treasures of your kingdom, what they need to do. It could be in business. It could be in ministry. It could be in the family, hidden treasures. So pour them out, Lord God, let the host of heaven encamp around every one of us and give us rest, and let your glory be poured out. And we thank you for these things. Let your presence come upon us. And we say again, no more delay, Lord. That's your word to the people, no more delay. So in that, I want to thank each and every one of you. I'm going to turn the recording off and say goodnight to all those that have listened, and blessings to you, and I hope to hear great reports here this next week.